Well, good afternoon and welcome to High School Hockey on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore along with our producer and engineer Bill Proposky, and the Salem Evening News sports editor Phil Stacy is up here in our mini press box as well. And we are at the Raymond J. Bork Arena Hockey Rink. I'm not sure if it's arena or hockey rink, but we're here at the Bork, I'm going to call it Bork Arena, and it is named for, yes, Mr. Bork of the Bruins. And it's on the campus of Endicott College, and it's a beautiful facility to play on. It's a little more difficult to see a game. The stands are very, very low, and our press box is much lower than any place I've ever been. So we'll do the best we can up here, but it's going to be a great game between Beverly and Danvers. The Panthers come in pretty much a new team under Justin Scherz in his second season, first full season at Beverly High School. And, of course, Danvers coming in with a record of 1-1 under first-year coach Steve Baldessari. And I want to welcome now Phil Stacy. Phil, glad you could be here.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping out.
I got set up and online
here. Did you get online okay?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay, perfect. So you connected to their Wi-Fi?
Yep, worked out good.
So we've seen Danvers twice. This is our third broadcast, and this will be the third Danvers game. So we're pretty familiar with Danvers.
Okay, so you did the Marblehead game
we
last
did.
Week then.
Yeah,
okay.
Most excellent game. And both coaches lamenting some breakdowns, but, you know, it's high school and it's early.
Yep.
What can you tell us about Beverly?
Well, young team like Danvers. I haven't seen them play yet. They had that one tie, as you mentioned, in their season opener with Saugus last week. A lot of new faces this year. Of the kids they graduated, and it wasn't a big number, but they graduated their top four scorers from a year ago. So some guys are going to be looking to step in and help fill that role left by some of those kids who left. Now I'm talking kids like Ross Wall, Hunter Spencer, I should say, even younger guys like Timmy McCarthy, Munzing. You know, they're going to need those type kids to step up and assume more scoring roles for them. Good, sir. How are you?
Great.
Good.
What's been happening?
Not much. Sorry.
It's live radio.
Sorry.
That's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's fine. Okay. Sorry about that.
It's live radio. This is what we do, you know? You should try to do a game with Ken Perrone. It's just not possible.
I can imagine. That's going to be difficult. Defensively, same type thing. You know, you got Luke Samperi back there, Sean Hanlon, the captain, his younger brother Connor's now on the team, and Troy Doyle and that. So there's a mix there of older guys but without a lot of experience and new guys that have some promise. So Beverly's looking for it to kind of come together. Today will be a good barometer, I think, against a Danvers team that, you know, from what I've been able to tell through two games, is actually playing a little bit better than maybe people thought.
I think they're playing very well. I think what Coach Baldessari just said, we've got his interview coming up in a couple of minutes, but he was just mentioning, you know, cleaning up the mistakes. You know, first-year coach, new system. I imagine it must be difficult to cover all the points your first time around.
Yeah, I certainly think so. I mean, Steve comes from a select hockey background. He's very involved in that, so that's a more advanced way of teaching. So I don't know if you have to, if this is even the right term, you have to dumb it down at this level a little bit, or, you know, hey, this is what we're doing. These are the systems we want to run. These are what we expect of you. You should be here in this situation. What, you know, however they delineate those responsibilities. I do know that they're doing an awful lot of classroom work as a team to, you know, get it, so I guess really drill it into the players' heads. And we see that all the way up to the National Hockey League where they do a lot of that stuff, video work and classroom preparation, things like that. So I think Steve is not making any excuses for his team. After the first game we saw against Gloucester, when I was talking to him afterwards, he says, we're not using the young team thing as an excuse. We don't even want to use that phrase. These guys can play. We want them to play a certain style. When they do that, they're going to be successful.
Well, I get a kick out of when certain talk radio stations in Boston, that shall go nameless, talk about next man up and they make fun of it. Next man up doesn't mean that you're going to continue success. It means that there are no excuses.
Well, it just means that if you're part of the team and you have a varsity jersey, in this case, you're expected to perform certain roles.
Yep.
You know, now, is there an incoming, you know, sophomore, let's say, who's expected to do what Connor Irving did for Beverly 2 years ago? Of course not. That's not what next man up means. It just means that you have won the right to wear a varsity jersey, and as a member of that team, you are expected to be able to do certain things. Everyone has a role, just like on any team. And, you know, when you're out there and your number is called, you're expected to do what the coaches have asked of you.
Saturday afternoon hockey between two schools that have great tradition, Phil, Beverly and Danvers, and you're talking about frequent champions on each side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the not-too-distant past, obviously, Beverly High, 2 seasons ago, won their first-ever state title. Danvers, it's hard to believe now, but it's been, we're going on 15 years without a state title. No, I shouldn't say without. I mean, they won one. But, you know, they won their titles in 94 and 2001. And I think to myself, oh, it's not that long ago, 2001. Well, you know, a sophomore on that team is now an assistant coach on his Danvers team, and Ryan Hayes. So.
Right.
And those guys are all now approaching 30. So
you know, and you look at and some of the names, like, you know, when I saw Steve Baldessari, I said, geez, I remember covering him, you know, WSX and all these guys, and Dale Dunbar at Winthrop, and you go across the league, it's pretty cool. Then you see someone like Coach Jackson, he's been around for a little while, makes me feel a little bit better.
See, Bobby was before my time, obviously, but, you know, covered Coach Baldessari in high school, covered Coach Shears in high school,
sure,
a lot
sure.
of the assistants.
Yep.
You know, it was a welcome addition for the Beverly High coaching staff this year. I don't know if you know Peter Shea. Peter spent a lot of time back in the 80s and into the 90s with Mike Deering in Beverly.
Okay,
and
right.
Mike and Larry Jacobs and Peter were the three guys in Beverly.
Well, Larry's a good friend of mine.
Larry's a great guy. Peter has a son, Andrew, who is now a freshman. He asked to come back and coach. He was welcomed back. Now, unfortunately, his son, God love him, broke his ankle in their final scrimmage. He's done for the year. Penciled it in as a top four defenseman, Andrew Shea.
Wow.
Yeah, tough loss for him, tough loss for Beverly, as we're getting ready to see Beverly take the ice here. But, you know, it's real nice to see Peter back on the coaching staff with Coach Shares, and he'll absolutely be a big addition to this Beverly team.
All right, as the Beverly Panthers do get ready to come on the ice, we got 7 minutes before game time. We're going to take a break. You've already heard from Coach Baldessari. We'll come right back and check in with you've heard from Coach Shares. We'll check in with Coach Baldessari right after a break. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm Rick Moore along with Phil Stacey, and this is High School Hockey on MSO New Sports. So stay with us and spread the word.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, we're back before this afternoon's game, Danvers and Beverly, with Danvers hockey coach Steve Baldessari. And Coach, I'm sure disappointing game against Marblehead, but another flat-out wide-open game. And what are the positives you got away from that 6-4 game?
Well, definitely in the Gloucester game in the Marblehead, we kept competing. And, that's what we keep talking about, is regardless of the score, let's just keep competing and let's just keep playing the game.
Your defense got some goals. By design or just opportunity?
A little of both.
Okay. All right, I know that you wanted to get some shots on goal the other night, and, man, that was big in that game. Shorthanded goal there at the end killed you. You had a chance to tie that one. But you did get the shots on goal. So how did you open up the offense?
You know, just if we move our feet, that's the biggest thing right now. You know, we get, like I said, we got players that can skate. And if we move our feet and, if we create plays with our feet, the puck will get there and we'll get our opportunities. And, I thought we could have capitalized on a few of those against Marblehead. I think the biggest issue right now is just team defensively. We're just making too many mistakes like you saw in that second period of Gloucester. And then a good team like Marblehead's going to capitalize on those. So we just got to clean that up right there.
Is that important for the forwards to get back when you talk about team defense?
Yeah, absolutely. They got to pick up guys. They got to be, it's not just making the back check, it's completing the back check. You know what I mean? That's something we worked on in practice the last two nights. And, I think you'll see a definite improvement in that today.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, what you worked on. How did the practice go the last couple of days?
Very good, very good. You know, very enthusiastic. You know, even though we got the loss the other night, we kept things positive through the two practices. Did a lot of work in the video room. And, I think you'll see a better defensive team tonight from Danvers.
Okay, and finally, what do you see from Beverly?
Just great tradition there. You know, Coach Shears does a really good job over there. Being in part of that program for so many years, you know, he has that history, that tradition behind him. And they're always hard-nosed games. They're hard-nosed players. We just got to meet the challenge and try to exceed that.
Any changes from the other night?
No, negative.
All right, good luck, Coach.
Thanks.
That's Danvers Coach Steve Baldessari with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.
Thanks, my man. Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, there you go. You've heard the pregame from both coaches. Both teams have finished up their warm-ups. Danvers skating around in circles to our right and Beverly down to our left. And, Phil, I was just noticing we've got about a dozen obstructed views from where we are.
Yeah, you know, being the professionals that we are, we'll find a way to get through it here. But
well, you're about 9 feet taller than I am, so that'll be helpful. That works.
Good crowd here already, and they're already, starting to come in. They're already here, I should say, but there's a good crowd waiting to come in.
And they are separated with Beverly over to our right and Danvers over to our left.
That's
as
right.
Opposed to some of the rinks where you all sit together. We saw that thing at Gloucester the other night last week.
Yeah, that's not an ideal situation.
No.
So much better over here, I think, with the separation of church and state and, in this case, school, you know.
All right, so we got Beverly getting ready to play their second game of the season. This will be the third for the Danvers Falcons. And I have no idea where the PA might be if in fact there is one.
There is somewhere.
I know we got the music box under here, but
okay.
I don't know where.
So they expect me to spin some tunes? It's Coach
depends
Milligan.
Depends on what kind of music.
Merry Christmas, Bob. Good to see you, pal. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Good to see Coach Gilligan here.
Yeah, great to see Coach Gilligan.
Long time Beverly coach. We'll take another break and we'll come right back.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613. Stop in at 268 Rantoul Street or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, there you go. National Anthem has been played. Took an hour and a half for it, but that's all right. I have a problem with the National Anthem being sung as a soul song, but that's just my own little personal problem. That's where I go a little right wing, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Yep, very nice, and we're ready to go. So there is sound here. I don't, again, know where the PA might be. So we're ready to go with Danvers, again, coming in with a record of 1-1, a 5-4 win over Gloucester.
I think we're looking right across the way.
Oh, up there by the with the Richard J. Bradley, is it?
Yes,
banner? Okay.
I believe so, yes.
I think you're right. I think that would be the scorer's table as well, I presume. Okay, so Danvers showing a propensity to run. They really move the puck. They skate well. Disorganized now and again, as we saw last week, Phil.
Yep.
But they cleaned that up quite a bit against Marblehead. And Beverly, we haven't seen yet.
Well, I think Danvers, from what I saw against Gloucester, has speed and they have skill, especially in those top two lines. I really like the Purcell-Mento Demiglia line for them, and I think what you're going to see out of Beverly is a starting lineup with Spencer centering Wall and D'Amato. Yeah, thank you, Anthony D'Amato should provide a nice balance for that, because they also have speed and can muck it up too if they
need to. It's like Mr. Wall's got some size too.
Yes, he's a big boy.
All right, so, and you've got an in with Tommy Mento too. You've got a hotline.
Well, I don't have the penalty box right here. I'm gonna lean over there.
I can't see behind over Coach Beldisari. This is too much. All right, we're underway.
Well, Beverly won the draw, I can tell you that.
Thank you very much. All right, and right now the puck is being bounced back and forth between the lines. Spencer backhands it in to the Danvers end, and it's tracked down by Connor Purtell, but goes into the right wing corner, picked up by Mento trying to come out. And it just comes back to the left side where Wall keeps it in for Beverly. Beverly with their cream-colored jerseys, black trim and black pants.
Yeah, I love those.
Yeah,
I think those are great.
Pretty cool. It looks like an off-white.
It's kind of a retro look,
And here comes Mento across the line leading the attack for Beverly, but he's for Danvers, rather, but he's knocked off the puck by Sean Hanlon, one of the captains of the Beverly Panthers. Play is in the Beverly zone. Mento skating around. Sets up left wing side. Score by Demiglio.
Wow.
Mento to Demiglio on the doorstep. Maybe 12, 15 feet away. Pick the top right hand corner. 1-0 Danvers.
51 seconds in. Kind of a turnover down in the zone. Found that puck in the lower corner. And I'm not so sure that Troy Doyle, the starting goaltender for Beverly today, was either ready for that or saw it, because that went right over his glove hand on the left-hand side.
I neglected to mention starting goalies. You said 51 seconds, right?
Yes.
All right, so Danvers leading this one now. We will get to the goalies in a second here. And as you mentioned, Troy Doyle down to our left, and it should be Bublik to our right as he's under attack right now. Flying down the left wing side was Sullivan. But it's taken away right away by Nick DeSciulio for Danvers. Still with it. Looks over to his right side. Gets it to Taylor. Long lead pass too far ahead for Rod Tibbetts. The Danvers forward, and we have an icing play. So right away off the... Here we go. Really? They got that backwards.
I think it is backwards, too.
Well, it was DeMeglio from Memento, yeah.
And
that's weird.
But DeSciulio has been scoring a ton of points in the early going here. I want to say that's already his sixth point or seventh point in three games.
Well, I'm pretty sure that was Christian Meglio popped it in, and Mento set him up. Mento with a pass from right to left. Well, anyway, the faceoff is to the right of Trevor Bublik. A Jaeger.
Yeah, our friend Chris Hurley here, longtime writer for CNC, also thought it was DeMeglio.
Yeah.
So, I'd say six eyes are better than two on the ice, I guess.
Well, you and I have glasses, so that
adds
to it.
That's true, yeah.
Puck trickles in on goal. Easy save along the ice by Doyle. With Danvers leading 1-0. Lines change up. Very quick goal by the Falcons to get them on top. They've scored 10 goals in two games. Nine goals in two games. Faceoff will be to the right of Doyle. Pertel will take the draw for Danvers, and it'll be Hunter Spencer for Beverly. We have a slowdown here. I have no idea. Official over on the far side. Penalty? Yeah, we have a penalty.
Maybe he can't see either. Yeah, penalty on Beverly, actually. There.
Right, on
Luke Samperi.
Okay. Yeah, Samperi is off. He's a defenseman. And I didn't catch the time, but we got 1:22 left in the penalty.
1:35.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go, Samperi roughing. And so Beverly with a shorthanded bid coming back in the other direction, and it's knocked away as Wall tried to set something up for the Panthers. He's the tallest guy out there. But now we still have 55 seconds left in the Danvers man advantage. Mento off the boards, goes down low to Pertel, back to Mento, skates behind the cage. He's got DeSciulio with him, looking for DeSciulio, comes back to center point Taylor, to Tibbetts in the slot, shoots and scores. 2-0 Danvers.
Pretty simple, gave him a lot of room to skate there. Taylor was able to get into the offensive zone. He fed Tibbetts perfectly in the slot, and it's 2-0 Falcons. This game's not even 2.5 minutes old, Rick.
Yeah, that is a power play effort. And I don't know how many shots there are, but Danvers taking advantage of it right now.
Three shots,
two goals,
and
we play 2:26. So power play goal by Tibbetts, and it's 2-0 Danvers Falcons. Beverly needing to regroup here right away. They had a 3-3 tie against Saugus on Wednesday night. Danvers with a win over Gloucester and a loss to Marblehead. Play is in the Beverly end, but it's the Falcons more or less controlling. I don't have number 13. You have a 13 in Danvers?
For Danvers, yes, I do. That
who is that?
DeMeglio.
I do have...
Goal score.
Okay, I do have DeMeglio.
Yep.
It was, yeah. That's strange on my part. All right, so even strength...
No, that's not right.
No,
Taylor,
that's not right either.
Pass.
I know. I don't get it, but whatever.
We'll make those corrections.
All right, so the play is on with 11:36 left to go in the period. 2-0 Danvers. Play is at center ice at the moment. Chris Mullaney with it for the Falcons.
And
shovels it over.
All over Beverly at this
yeah.
point. They're attacking. They're skating well. They're winning all the early 50-50 pucks. I mean, Beverly needs to do something to get going.
Yeah, rink is definitely tilted down to our left as Igor Bublik is in the goal to our right for Danvers. And to our left, it is Doyle as we have an offside at the Beverly line by the Falcons.
And you can see that, you know, Danvers bench is literally right in front of us. I mean, like 15 feet away. And, you know, they are not satisfied. Early lead, it's like, keep it going. Keep working on what we're doing here. Beverly trying to stay calm, stay with their game plan. Again, we're not even 4 minutes in here, but I think it's imperative if they want to stay in this game, they're going to need to score quickly.
Yeah, and I think their first line has got to get out of their own zone. They're in their own zone right now. Spencer trying to just cover out in front as the Falcons have it behind the net. Centering pass. Oh, it's in the crease, and it might be in. I think it is.
Goal.
Another goal.
That's Tibbetts again.
Just a scrum in front, and I don't think the goalie had a stick on the ice.
No, he didn't. Tibbetts stuffed that in. One shot kind of came from behind Gretzky's office. Stopped at the near post, but then a...
Whoa. What's Gretzky's office?
Gretzky's office is behind
office.
The net.
Ah.
Behind the net, where
so
he work.
That's where he belongs. Right?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You like that? You learn something new every day,
I
right?
was in denial the whole time Gretzky played. I didn't want him taking over Bobby Orr's records. And I was in denial the whole time. All those years. My goodness, 3-0. Two goals by Tibbetts. One by Demeglio. Calling that goal unassisted. And that was a what you would call affectionately a garbage goal.
It was, yeah. I mean, and I'm sure when the Beverly coaches break it down on film, that's going to be a real garbage goal for them to watch. That's that is a tough break right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at all what Beverly needed.
No, they're down 3-0 already, and it's goodness gracious, we haven't played 5 minutes yet. All right, so the face-off will be to the right of Bublik, and Mento will take the face-off against Wall. Comes all the way back into the Beverly end, and it'll be tracked down by Sean Hanlon, one of the captains for the Panthers. Sends it to the right wing boards, over to Tim McCarthy, scales it off the glass, bounces into the Danvers end, and Matt Taylor will collect it for the Falcons behind the cage. Nice touch pass over to Mento, skating down the right wing side, stops, put the brakes on, fires it, loose puck, and covered up this time by Doyle. Made the initial save, but he didn't know where the puck was, and then he found it and covered it up.
I got to be honest, I'm actually surprised that they haven't thought about a goaltending change. I mean, I know it's early, and, you know, you got to give a kid a chance to gain his confidence, but, you know, 3 goals on 5 shots less than 5 minutes in is usually not a good sign. Might just not be somebody's day, you know?
Yeah, Doyle is yeah.
And he's a good goaltender.
Yep.
Troy is a good goaltender.
Sophomore goaltender for Beverly. A little shaky at the moment. Maybe he'll get his skating legs on here very quickly. And
I hope so.
Help the Panthers turn this thing around. 3-0. We've played 5:20. And the puck is down into the Beverly end, picked up by Luke Semperi. Sends it over to Klautman on the left side. Goes up ahead for Ryan Munzing. But he's boxed in. Can't get out of his zone. And it's taken away by Christian Demeglio. Avoids a big hit by Semperi, who crashes into the boards. Puck goes all the way around, comes to the left wing side, and it's finally picked up and out of the zone by the Panthers. They send it in deep. Looks like Munzing has it. He's just checked off as he tried to shoot it. Demeglio is crushed in his own zone by Semperi, who's throwing his weight around. And the Falcons will bring it out. Play right in front of us along the boards. Can't see it. As Ben Cottrell will check Connor Hanlon to the boards in the Danvers end. Beverly trying to get some offense going now. Some forechecking, seriously. Centering pass, nobody home. Puck chips out to center point, kept in at the point. Just goes wide. Hanlon with a good shot. Panthers picking up their game now. Kept in at the left point by Connor Hanlon. Gets loose, top of the circle, and it's misfired by Rocky
Pisa.
I've got pins on here for some reason. Pisa. Oh, Mento all alone. Loose puck. Save is made by Doyle. That was a nice save.
Now, that was clearly his best save of the day because Mento just walked right around two Beverly defensemen.
Yes, sir.
Had no business doing that.
Well, that kept the score from going 4-0.
That's right. Shots of 7-0 for Danvers so far through 7 minutes.
But the best flurry of the night so far for Beverly on the most recent shift from the third line.
Yep.
First line back out there, Hunter Spencer sends it diagonally left wing corner. Taylor in there for Danvers trying to get it up and out of the zone. And it is kept in at the right point by Sean Hanlon. Fighting for the puck is Taylor. Flips it out to center. And I believe we have a face-off in the Danvers End. I'm sorry, in the Beverly End.
Is it? No, that's going to be down in the Danvers End, yep. To the left here of the sophomore. Eagle
Beverly offensive zone, yep.
So yeah, we still got that top line out here, the Spencer line, going against Gloucester's. I want to say that's the third line. The second line with the Shulo.
All right, and coming away from the boards is Wall. Tough shot. Gets it back to the left point. Another shot. Where is it? It's in the crease. It's loose. Goes wide to the left. As good pressure coming from Taylor Kloutman. Once again, he sends it through a screen. Bouncing puck, and it's held on to by Bublik.
And that's Bublik's first save of the night there, and he had to be sharp. Because at this point, you don't want to give Beverly any momentum if you're Bublik or Danvers. And a goal bouncing 5 feet in front of him and past him would have been the jolt that maybe the Panthers needed.
Looked like a third baseman taking it into your chest and covering it up. Yeah, knocking it down.
Brooks Robinson, right?
Brooks Robinson.
Yeah,
I thought that was before your time.
Yeah, well, I love
you
baseball
read.
History. Yeah,
so me too.
I eat that up.
Me too. You know, the one that kills me is Ty Cobb, how great he was and what a nasty guy he was. All right, back to the point. It comes. Beverly shoots, blocked up close as the Panthers' Luke Semperi put a shot on, but comes right back to the other way. Pertel first one on it for Danvers. Picks it up. Centering pass. Over. Skated by the Falcons. And Beverly is able to clear it. Coming out of the zone, Steve Hallinan on the right wing side. Ryan Munzing with it. Shoots it across. Goes wide to the left. Picked up by McCarthy. Dumps it around. Back for Munzing on the right wing side. Falcons steal it. Bring it right back out. Across the line it goes. Taylor Kloutman has to retreat behind his own cage for Beverly. Does so. Panthers trailing 3-0, but they've picked it up considerably in the last couple of minutes.
Yep, kind of stem the tide, so to speak.
Absolutely. Semperi knocks a Falcon into the boards heavily. Puck is just bouncing around right now in the Beverly end. And it comes out to center ice, collected by Kloutman. Kloutman's been out there a long time on defense. To center ice it comes, big center ice check, but McCarthy avoids it and comes away with it. But now it's stolen away by the Falcons, bringing it right back as DeShulio. He shoots. Oh, man, he was about 15 feet away. And this one is stopped once again by Doyle.
Now, you mentioned Zach Kloutman for Beverly. He's seen an awful lot of ice time. I know that they're really happy to have him back. He missed all of last season, academically ineligible. Just wasn't able to, you know, qualify to play last season. So after playing a good amount as a sophomore on that title team of Beverly's in 2014, the Panthers are really happy to have him back for this, his senior year.
And it says a lot for the young man, too, that he overcame that.
That's right. And I think that the coaches are very proud of him in that regard.
Absolutely. Keep it going, man. You got to have the grades.
That's right. Nobody here is going to the NHL, so you got to hit those books.
All right. Beverly seeing Danvers break out on a two-on-one, but McEachern sends it too far, can't collect his own pass, goes behind the cage. Right wing side. Tippett tries to come up with it. Stolen by the Panthers, and they will bring it out.
Well, you know, Doyle has made a couple of nice saves the last few times down. Right there we saw Pertel rip one from the far circle, and he made a nice save with his left arm.
Here comes Pertel. Tibbetts. No, I'm sorry, it's Pertel. He's knocked down while he was on the ice. No call. Oh, there is
delayed
a penalty.
Ball, yep. Delayed penalty.
Penalty coming up. That would have been roughing the passer in a football game.
Yeah. That could be about four different things here. It's just no matter what they want to call.
Pertel was falling down. He got hit in the head as he was falling down. The penalty will be assessed to Sean Hanlon.
Now, you've seen a couple of games already. The officials have been told statewide that they're really cracking down, especially early in the season, on potential concussion-type hits.
Okay.
Really cracking down on that. So I think you're going to see a lot more of those calls. I want to say that was the case in the Danvers Marblehead game. Quite a lot of penalties in that game.
I'm okay with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, yep. And you know what? They'll adjust to that after a fashion. Why not? You know, and player safety is the most important thing, needless to say.
I like that, you know, a dozen or so years ago when they used to have the stop sign on the back of the jerseys, you know, and that was more to prevent the players from ramming each other into the boards and things like that.
Power play once again for our Falcons. They've already scored on one. Taylor closing between the circles. Left wing to Tibbetts. Back to Taylor, center point. Right side, top of the circle. Goes down. Right wing boards back to Taylor. Wrist shot wide. Picked up by Tibbetts on the left wing side. Sends it back to Taylor, center point. Slides it back to Tibbetts. Closing shot. Goes just wide to the left.
And he tried to pick that short side, which was open, but he just missed it.
And we have a face-off. I think the puck got caught on the net.
It seems to me that I don't know if Troy is having difficulty picking up the puck or there's too much traffic in front of him or whatnot, mm-hmm. but he was slow to come over there going left to right. If Tibbetts had been able to get that shot on goal, we'd be looking at a 4-0 game.
And the first three goals, especially the third one, not reacting like he didn't see the puck.
First one, too, over that gloved hand.
I mean, yeah.
Hey, we're not in goal. We don't.
Oh, no.
You know, you would think, based on what we see normally.
Well, whatever was bugging him, he seems to have overcome it now.
Yes.
There's another shot, and a great save that time, flashing out the glove. That thing was labeled for lower right-hand corner, and Doyle is able to make the save. 40 seconds left in the Beverly penalty. Danvers leading 3-0, still on the power play. They already have a power play goal. Falcons win the faceoff, and controlling, coming back to Taylor at center point. Slides it back to the left. I can't see who's got the puck. And Whirling, shooting it wide, is DeSciulio. Coach Baldessari likes to put different units out there, both on penalty kill and power play.
I like that. It mixes it up. It keeps things fresh. It keeps the players on their toes.
But Mento is out there, and so is Taylor. You got to keep a couple of the anchors, I suppose.
Yeah, the big dogs.
All right. Race to the puck back into the Danvers end. Munzing can't come up with it. Falcons bring it away. McEachern across the line. Looked like right wing feed goes too far and is cleared.
Right out of the box.
Center ice,
out of the stick of Hanlon.
Yep, and he is knocked down on a terrific check by Pertel.
Taylor knocked
was it Taylor?
Right off the puck.
Yeah, 19. I thought all I saw was the 9. You're right. Terrific defensive play by Taylor as Munzing had a chance. Or Hanlon, rather. All right. Here we come in the other direction. McEachern leading the attack. Centering pass. Looking for number 8 on your program.
For Beverly, that's Aaron Carroll.
No, for Danvers.
Oh,
who's
for
8
Danvers,
for Danvers?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's Justin Nadeau.
Okay. I don't have the full program. Cleared away as Beverly had a good scoring threat put on by Sean Hanlon, senior captain, putting on the offense from his defensive position. Connor Hanlon leads the attack this time. Sends it to Chad Mariskalki. Third liner fires it around the boards. Rocky Pina can't come up with it.
You got to get that name right. It's an old Beverly name. Mariskalki.
Mariskalki.
Yes. It's not a bad pronunciation for an Irish guy, is it? Mariskalki.
Mariskalki. And Pisa. Yeah. I've got to change this on my score.
Yes.
I've got him as Pins. P-I-N-S. No. I don't know where that came from. I'll change that between periods. All right, so Mento this time on the left wing side. He's a left-handed shot. Usually plays, well, he is on that left wing. He's all over the ice, as usual. Comes back all the way to the line for Mullaney. Looking for Mento, but it goes too far ahead. Ross Wall, got a winger with him. Trying to centering pass. Can't do it as D'Amato was knocked off the play. Comes out to center ice. 2 minutes left to go. First period, 3-0 Danvers. Three quick goals within the first 4 minutes.
No, and while they haven't scored, Danvers has certainly kept the pressure on it and been the dominant team this first period.
Connor Hanlon, centering pass, cruising down the slot. Panthers can't come up with it, cleared out to center ice.
I'm feeling that the few offensive chances that Beverly has had, a lot of those have been telegraphed.
Ross Wall from long range, bouncing shot into the neck area of Bublik, and he makes the save. Clear down into the Beverly end, icing against Danvers.
You know, they're coming down around the net. They're trying to make something happen, but they're telegraphing passes. So they're waiting a fraction of a second too long and allowing Danvers to get into position to either block a shot or clog the passing lanes. And it's not working out, I don't think, the way that they would hope.
Well, you got to think right now they're just trying to get some momentum, get it out of their own zone after that quick shot, you know,
yeah.
The cold water in the face. And then maybe they'll be able to settle down and make crisper passes, as you're mentioning. But right now, it's 3-0 Danvers with a minute and a half left to go in the period. First period, all Falcons up to this point, but Beverly with a couple of good flurries, and in goal, Doyle settling down after those three quick strikes.
Yeah, he's up to 8 saves now.
Across the line, Pertel. He's got a winger with him. Pertel closing. Bad angle shot goes wide. He had Jared Massiz with him. He's back to the left point, kept in by Desmond. Goes down low. Nick DeSciulio, or check it, it's Tibbetts with it. And comes back to the right point, sent in diagonally right to left into the empty corner. So there it's picked up by Luke Semperi, and he clears it to center. Mento gets it to DiMeglio across the line offside. with 44 seconds left to go in the period.
Well, if you're Beverly, you certainly don't want to let in another late goal here. I mean, that would kill that positive buzz you've gotten by, I think I used the term stemming the tide the last 10 minutes or
mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm.
And if, for whatever reason, you can fly up ice and pop one in, that would do wonders for them.
Absolutely. They've threatened, but haven't quite put it home yet. DiMeglio, up close, save along the ice, stick side by Doyle, and just cleared out to center ice by Beverly. Bounced right back in by Samperi over to the left wing side. Long feed for Ross Wall, can't come up with it. First man back there is Chris Mullaney for Dambras. He's goal line behind behind the goal line, rather, on his own end of the ice. Comes back to the left point. Weak shot by Hanlon, doesn't get through. Two-on-two potential. DiMeglio, pass too far ahead, loses it into the corner, and this will be icing with 5.3 seconds left to go in the period. What did you say that? Gretzky's office.
Gretzky's office. Yeah.
Is that where he did most of his passing from there?
Well, think about it. You know, I mean, there's a... You know, you don't want to chase somebody behind the net back there, but he's able to stick handle, view the ice from a totally different perspective, and then dish it out to somebody cutting or, you know, maybe try a wraparound or
yep.
something.
Gretzky's office. Man, you got more sayings. Okay, so we're going to have, down to 1.4 seconds. Shot off the faceoff, and it is covered up by Bublik. Igor Bublik, my favorite hockey name.
That's a great
name. I love it. I've got to see him three times so far. He's 1-1 in the early season. Weak shot off the faceoff. Covered up, and that ends the first period. We'll be take a break here. We'll be back to discuss this one and more. It's Danvers 3, Beverly nothing. We are at the Raymond Bourque Arena here on the campus of Endicott College. High school hockey on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley destination restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
All right, first intermission as the first period is over here at the Bork Arena on the campus of Endicott College. And Danvers is leading this one by a score of 3-0. And within the first 4 minutes and 10 seconds of this game, the Falcons had those goals. I'm going to double check when we get a chance here on all of the...
About 2:30.
I'm going to check on all of the scoring, make sure it's all correct. But as we have it at the moment, Christian DiMeglio scored at 51 seconds as he was set up nicely by Tommy Mento. And then it was Rob Tibbetts getting the first of his two goals. The first one was at 2:26, a power play job. And then he also scored at 4:10. And so that made it 3-0 on the DiMeglio goal. We had Mento as the assist. On the Tibbetts goal, it was Matt Taylor with the assist. And then the second Tibbetts goal at 4:10 was unassisted. A couple of penalties in the period, both to Beverly, as Sampari... Luke Sampari was called off for a penalty at 1:35, which set up the power play goal for Tibbetts. And then it was Sean Hanlon. Let me make sure it was the right, got the right Hanlon here. I think it was Sean Hanlon.
We got to check some of those assists, Rick.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Hanlon now called at 9:43. And only trouble at the moment is the scorer's table is completely across the ice on the other side. So, all right. So that's where it is, and I'm Rick Moore, along with Phil Stacey, who has been kind enough to help us out here this afternoon. Producer and engineer Bill Proposky. We'll have more games coming up next week. Love the response we've gotten so far. We got people listening to us and spreading the word. We think it's great. We're able to keep this thing free. Someone asked us when I came in here if we were selling this stuff, and I said, no, it's free. These are free broadcasts. We started this 10 years ago when WESX in Salem no longer did the games. And a couple of us started this up who had been at WESX at one time. So we love doing it. It's high school hockey, high school sports, basketball and hockey coming up on MSONewsSports.com. So we'll take another break and come back in just a bit. But right now, between the first and second periods, it's Danvers 3 and Beverly nothing. So stay with us, and we'll be back with some more hockey talk and hockey action.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley destination restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, we're back at the Bork Arena here at Endicott, and interesting game last night out of Lynn, as Lynn English stopped the Danvers High School boys basketball team winning streak, coming from behind. I guess they were down by 14 points at one time. That game is on demand. It's right there on our website. You can go ahead and listen to that. Check out the interview that Bill did after the game. But Lynn English beating Danvers in a close one, of course, the Danvers Falcons last year, going unbeaten, and quite a start to the season for Lynn English. And I know, Phil, that you guys, you cover everything, and that Danvers basketball season of a year ago was one for the ages.
Oh, it was ridiculous. You know, they were great, both them and Hamilton went them, going undefeated and winning state championships, remarkable. And ironically, both lose on the same night to see their long winning streaks ended. I do think it's important to point out that Danvers, you know, they took an 11-point lead into the fourth quarter last night. But they saw Devin Allen foul out. He had three fouls going in. He had two quick fouls in the fourth quarter, so he fouled out with about 4:20 left. And from that point, you know, English outscored Danvers in the period 17-4. Danvers just couldn't get it going. You know what? Hindsight, maybe it's a good thing for Danvers. You know, for it to happen early and get it out of their system and not have that pressure. And
no coach, you know, will ever say it's a good loss, but
right.
but fans know better.
Well, and you know, maybe it's good for them to realize that they are fallible. You know, I mean, no, they're not infallible. That they can lose if they don't come to play, and everybody's going to be gunning for them. Everybody's going to bring their best effort, every cliche you can think of. So maybe not the worst thing in the world for the Falcons long term.
Phil Stacey of the Salem Evening News is sports editor. And Phil, you mentioned reading, baseball in particular. But can you remember any either book or article that you read early on that that you stay with? For me, it was Ted Williams' book on hitting. I read that as a kid.
Yeah, The Science of Hitting.
Science of Hitting. And I also read, I don't know if it was his autobiography or biography, but he said, you know, I want to walk down the street and have people say, there goes the greatest hitter who ever lived. And I remember that. And people have quoted it all the time. But I remember reading about that as a kid. What about you?
Well, you know, as a young guy, Ball 4 kind of stood out.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Jim Bowden.
Yeah, you know, and at the time when it was still shocking to hear those things from a ball player, like, wow, they think this way and they do these things, and it's not all just like, hey, we're playing baseball, this is great kind of thing. That was eye-opening. Specifically to baseball or any sports?
I mean, any sport. I mean, the thing I want kids, and I talk to high school kids about it, is, I mean, I've had classes, juniors and seniors in high school who don't know, never heard of Ted Williams. And I remember as a 10, 11, and 12-year-old kid reading all the stuff about, I just wanted to know about it. Sports Illustrated, Sport Magazine, Sporting News, and biographies.
You know, I don't care if my kids ever play sports, and I really mean that. If they want to, wonderful. If they don't and they want to do something else, that's fine, too. I would never be one of these crazy people that pushes their kids into something. But I can tell you this. Both my boys, 7 and 5, know who Noel Picard is.
Okay.
They know who Bobby Orr is.
Yep.
They know who Glenn Hall is. They look at that picture, and they can point out every guy in that.
Glenn Hall. So, oh, my.
Yeah.
There's
so
Noel
Picard's the defenseman who tripped them and all. And yeah. So
St. Louis Blues.
St. Louis Blues. Yep. So even my wife knew that. That was a. You ever see the movie Diner where guy gives his wife a test on the Baltimore Colts before they're going to get married? My wife had to be able to name everybody in the famous
that right?
Bryant picture before,
Well, so. We're married to good women, because my wife a few years ago said on a Saturday, she said, Patriots open up tomorrow? I said, yeah. They're on TV? Yeah. We need to go to Best Buy to get a big screen TV.
Wow.
I was like, okay, let's go.
That's,
So then the other day,
that is above and beyond.
She calls me, and this is even better. See, this is why kids have got to read. She calls me from work, and she's the NFL. I hate it. They did it again. What's wrong? I'm thinking they suspended somebody, right? They flexed the Patriots. You know what flexed means? So yeah, this is a good thing. Knowledge is good, but there are so many good stories. And I remember reading about Rabbit Marinville and the Dean brothers and things like that.
Yeah, the old,
Negro Leagues,
Gas House Gang.
Yeah, the Gas House Gang. Yeah. And you know, we got to watch. I got to watch the original six. You're not old enough, but I did get to see that.
You know what? I loved reading even pre-NHL hockey stories like Ottawa Silva 7 and those teams that would come from all over Canada to play for the Stanley Cup. And, you know, it was like, you know, Wild West Frontier type stuff.
And you know, yeah, and the kids talk about who's out there now. But you know what? Gordie Howe, I love Bobby Orr. I think he's the greatest player I've ever seen, ever. And he changed the game for all time. But Gordie Howe, in my opinion, is just the greatest all-around hockey player who ever lived.
Well, think about what he could do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Anything.
Skate, shoot,
any
fight,
position.
Score, back check, play defense, right.
Right-handed, left-handed,
his,
tough.
His longevity is legendary.
Yeah.
You know, what he was able to do in that league, you know, with no training, no, you know, they were taking Pullman cars to games. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's right. And some of those names. We've got to talk about that sometime. The Canadiens. You hate the Canadiens now. Oh. Man, you should have grown up with them like that, with the Richard brothers and Tremblay and all those guys. Yvon Cornoyer. Oh, my goodness. All right, we got to get down to business here. Let's bring it back. I do encourage kids to read, though, and even if they don't
Absolutely.
Read, you got YouTube, so look them up.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of great stuff out there.
Absolutely.
You know?
Okay, Danvers comes back onto the ice now. Phil, I'm keeping the scoring as it was. Demeglio, Tibbetts, and Tibbetts is what I have.
Well, I think we're right on the goal scoring. I mean, I Demeglio scored the first
mm-hmm.
goal. That's no question about that. And we know that Tibbetts got both the last
yep,
two goals.
Yep.
But I do think they were maybe off on some of the assists. So we'll,
yeah.
you know, we'll do what we do. We'll clean it up after the fact and
there
make it all nice and pretty for.
Yep.
You know, the morning paper.
Phil will have it looking good online and in the paper in the Salem Evening News on Monday. Long break is finally over, and we're ready for the second period with Danvers leading 3-0. Falcons defending the goal to our left, and
the
Panthers to the right.
The end that was tilted last period.
It certainly was.
Yeah.
Beverly with a couple of good flurries, seemingly putting it together and calming down a bit after a very shaky opening 5 minutes or so. Right now the play is at center ice. As Panthers are trying to get to going with D'Amato, comes back into the Danvers end, picked up by Connor Hanlon for the Falcons for the Panthers on defense, loses it to Mento, centering pass to Demeglio, can't get the shot off, it goes wide to the right sideboards, cleared out to center ice, and is this going to be icing? No, so it'll be tracked down by Matt Taylor, who hustles back for it, and it comes right up to the line, kept in by Sean Hanlon, the delayed offside. Panthers clear the zone. Taylor loses it, goes into the left wing corner, still in the Danvers end at the moment. Just underway second period. Weak shot from the left point by Connor Hanlon. To the right point it goes. A much better shot by Sean Hanlon. Puck is loose in the crease. Bublik all over the place, kicking the puck away. Connor Hanlon with it. Circle, right side, wrist shot, just wide. Trying to pick the near side. Comes back to the left side, and it's taken out of the zone finally by the Falcons. Mento collects a long pass right wing side, but he's bumped off the boards, off the puck nicely by Sean Hanlon.
I don't know what the Beverly coaches said at in between periods, but obviously it has resonated.
Yeah, what do they say? A little hitch and you giddy up here?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Right down the left side, a shot by the Panthers, Tim McCarthy. And Bublik is forced to make a good save.
Now, Beverly, I had for four shots in the first period, and two of those were literally shots that Bublik had to cover up in the last 5 seconds off a faceoff. So, technically two shots on that. They've already got three a minute and a half into the second period.
Yeah, they've definitely picked it up.
Certainly some renewed vigor and jump to their step or to their skate.
Little halftime adjustments, as you'd say in football.
Yes.
Between period adjustments. Panthers clear it into the zone.
Well, Coach Shares was a pretty good quarterback back in his day, so I'm sure he's heard plenty of halftime speeches as well as in-between period talks.
Yeah, there's a few Shares who have played sports around
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah, the Shares are pretty good in Beverly.
All right, Tibbetts tried to make a play. Can't, comes back to the left point, kept in off the boards by Desmond for Danvers. Down low it goes, and circling the cage is James McEachern back to the right point. Mullaney slides it along the ice. Intercepted by Tyler Kloutman. Has it. Goal line extended. Blind pass behind him to the backboards. To the end boards, I should say. And it comes out of the zone all the way around the boards. The late offside has its stick back in by Colin Desmond. So the Panthers will have a chance to clear it. And they do. Get it out of the zone. Uh-oh, stolen right at the line. Here's a 2-on-1. Mento on the right wing side gets the pass. Shoots it way wide to the left. Set up nicely by Connor Pertel. Not enough time really to get organized. Here they come again with a 3-on-2. And in the slot right side, Mento shoots it wide to the right.
I think actually Doyle got a pat on that.
Okay. And sticked it to, deflected it to the right. Mento fighting for the puck with Pertel. Comes away with it, does Mento. Shoots it all the way around, comes back to the left point. And Desmond,
2-on-1 now.
Desmond fell
going
down.
Away, yeah.
Yep, allows the 2-on-1 to go offside. Beverly goes offside.
That's the kind of day it's been for Beverly. 2-on-1 opportunity there, and the trailer comes in offside.
11:43 left to go in the second period. And, again, Christian DiMeglio with one goal for Danvers, and Rob Tibbetts with a pair for the Falcons. It's 3-0, and they got those early on. Here's a potential 3-on-1, but busted up nicely by DeShulio for Danvers. Or check it by the Falcons. They lose it, I should say. It comes back the other way. And score by Beverly. Nice goal by Rothwell. He was due. Boy, he picked that top corner over
yes,
left shoulder.
Did. He did.
Of goaltender Bublik. A blistering wrist shot. And Beverly's on the boards after I got all confused. Panthers unconfused. They've got it together at the moment. And now they're down only by 3-1. Nice goal. Beauty that time by Ross Wall. So Wall gets the Panthers on the scoreboard with 3:34 gone in this middle frame. Here he comes right back again, left wing side. Connor Hanlon leading the attack. Wall is covering up at the left point. In his skate, got it. Right wing pass, Sean Hanlon, mid zone, right boards, fires it wide. Comes all the way around and all the way back into the Beverly end. Connor Hanlon will have to go back and get it. And it's intercepted by Connor Pertel in the Beverly end. But Connor Hanlon has it. He's checked off the play by Mento. Mento with the puck behind his skates and brings it to the forward, to the forehand, shoots it around the boards down low for Pertel. Good pressure put on by this first line by Danvers. Taylor takes a hit, keeps it in the zone. Panthers clear it. Taylor intercepts at the red line, center ice, shoots it into the Beverly end. Penalty coming up on somebody. Might be on Beverly. Let's see. It's an elbowing call.
On the Panthers again, right?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't know. Let's see, they're coming down into the Danvers end. So, looks like it's Mento going out for Danvers. It's on the Falcons. Mento with a penalty, elbowing. Comes at 4:27.
All right, so we'll see Beverly on the power play for the first time here.
Face off to the left of Bublik. Draw is controlled by Hunter Spencer. All the way around to the boards is Sean Hanlon. Oh, a shot. Great save. Glove save by Bublik. Very sneaky shot by Sean Hanlon. There's the penalty on Mento. So we've got 1:19 left in the power play for the Beverly Panthers. Big, tall, rangy Ross Wall, right wing side. Comes to the left point. Hanlon shoots it wide along the ice. Play is in the left wing corner. Tibbetts can't come up with it. Hanlon does. There's that wrist shot again. Deflected by the goaltender wide. Man, that was a dangerous play. And it comes all the way around to the boards again. Kept in left point by Hanlon. Once again, Beverly on the attack. Down low it goes. Oh, good opportunity that time by Hunter Spencer, but he shot it wide.
Some real sustained pressure here by Beverly, Rick.
Yep, they're still on the attack. Sliding along the ice from right to left. Tyler Kloutman comes to the left point. Deflected in front by Tim McCarthy. Goes wide. Picked up nicely by Wall. Back to the right point. Tyler Kloutman gets it to Wall. He's blocked up tight. 30 seconds left in the power play for Beverly. They still have it in the zone and finally slides out to center ice.
I think Bublik moves very well in his net, though. Left to right, he seems very fluid in his movements.
And he's keeping Beverly at bay on this power play. They've put some good shots in. They continue the attack with only seconds left. Give me this name again.
Chad Mariscalchi.
Mariscalchi. All right, Mariscalchi. Penalty is over with the play in the Beverly end. It was Mariscalchi who made the play. Keeps it in the Danvers end. Full house, both teams. 3-1. Danvers leading. Almost halfway through the game. About a minute to go. We'll be halfway through. As Mento is checked along the boards, loses the puck now in the Beverly end. Collected by Sean Hanlon, who's been all over the ice recently. Kept in at center point by Matt Taylor. Down low to Mento. He shoots it into the goaltender's breadbasket, who drops it. Loose puck still, goal line extended. No whistle. Mento comes away with it, trying to stuff it home. And we got a penalty. Yep.
Yep.
On
charging
Beverly.
Penalty on Beverly.
So that could change things up considerably here, as the first half of this period really has been Beverly. They've owned the period.
Yep. So far they have, but that could change as we see. Mm-hmm. Rocky Pisa going to the box,
yep.
Charging behind the net. Not a penalty you want to take behind your own net. That's not an opportune time for that to happen.
6:38, the time of this penalty. Again, we are at Endicott College at the Ray Bourque Arena. Controlled by Danvers in the power play. Busted up close range by Sean Henlon.
Now it seems like Beverly's being a lot more aggressive on the power play than they were earlier in the game. Nice work there by Spencer.
Yep. Power play for Danvers. Tibbetts with it, or check it, Pertel trying to center it. Nobody home. Panthers are able to clear. Ross Wall getting a lot of ice time here in this second period. Back on penalty kill right now with Hunter Spencer up front trying to forecheck, but Mento with those long strides, left wing side, skating across the line, puts the brakes on at the top of the line, sends it around the boards, trying to collect with DiCiulio. DiCiulio loses it, though. Taylor fights for the puck. Panthers get it out of the zone. Picked up nicely by Sean Hanlon at his own line. He's looking for Ross Wall. Wall with one more burst of energy. He's gassed, trying to get back into the play as the Panthers have numbers, bringing it up ice. Mento across the line. Has DiCiulio with him right side, but he stops mid-boards left side. Goes back to the left point, swaps it with Taylor. Taylor has it, bounces it off the boards down low, left side DiCiulio. Goes back toward Taylor at the blue line. Trying to pick it over to Mento, right wing circle. Diagonally right to left in the left wing corner. DiCiulio can't pick it up. There's a stick down there, picked up by the Panthers. Shot goes wide from the left point by Taylor.
That was Wall's stick, and you know he would have had an opportunity to break up that play, but he didn't have a stick at that time.
Penalty is over. Panthers have a 5-on-5 now.
And they need a change.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, there it is. Okay. They're a man short. They were two men short there for a second as they're changing up, but very slowly. Danvers can't take advantage. Mento's still out there. Goes between two players, and it's cleared away out of the zone by Sean Hanlon. Hanlon's played a terrific second period for Beverly.
He really has. Played very well.
Tim McCarthy has it now with a potential 2-on-1. With Munzing on the left wing side, shot, bad
off
angle.
Off the post.
Yeah.
Off the far post.
Oh, my. Great chance. Kept in at the right point by Connerhan and loses it. Here's Mento one-on-one. Long strides, trying to close. Picks up a winger with him. Centering pass, cleared to the side. Picked up by DiMeglio. Drops it back to the right point. Tim McCarthy covering up at the right point. Keeps it in. And he'll change up as it goes to the left wing board. Check it. It's Colin Desmond with it at the point to DiMeglio. In the Beverly end, Danvers trying to get some offense. Slap shot from long range. Bounces just wide of Doyle. Nobody with it right now. Pertel does a pirouette, loses the puck, comes back to the right point, kept in by Chris Mullaney. And Beverly gets it out of the zone. Where is the puck? There it is, down to our left. And Ryan Munzing sends it in deep as he has to change up. Over it goes on the right wing side to Rocky Pisa, and it's cleared out of the zone. 5 minutes left to go, a little more than 5 minutes left to go in the second period. Panthers with numbers 3-on-2 across the line. Crunched along the backboard, so the end boards is Nick DiCiulio. Do we have a penalty?
Yeah, we're going to have a boarding call, it looks like.
Uh-huh.
Along the back wall there, and there's a Falcon down along the ice, but now he's up.
Well, that's a Danvers student body to our left, so the penalty obviously on Beverly.
Yep.
Second in a row.
Good to see Chris Mullaney up for Danvers. He got wrapped there behind the glass, junior defenseman, who certainly played very well in the game I saw against Gloucester.
Penalty on Ben
Cottreau.
Cottreau, correct.
Benny Cottreau.
So, penalty comes at 9:57, and Beverly was on the attack, but we'll bring the puck back 200 feet the other way.
And again, if you're Beverly, these are steps you don't want to be taking. You know, you have it to a two-goal game. The momentum has been, I don't want to say shifted, but, you know, it's certainly playing more into your favor. You don't want to get back down by three goals with time ticking away in the second period.
So the Falcons will form up their power play with Taylor leading it from his own line. Gets it over to Pertel on the left boards at the Beverly line, but it's cleared out of the zone rather easily this time by Ross Wall. 4:38 left to go in the second period, 3-1 Beverly. Pass goes too far for Tibbetts into the left wing corner, but Tibbetts is in the offensive zone. Comes out of the scrum with Pertel. Connor Pertel is being bumped into the boards by Sean Hanlon. Pertel gets some help from Tibbetts. From the left wing point, Mento fires it into the pads of the goaltender, who sticks it aside, Troy Doyle.
He's got a big shot, Mento.
He sure does.
We noticed that the first time we saw them play this year.
Yep, and a good wrist shot, too. Taylor shoots it wide, back to the left point, over to Taylor, left side. And he can't get it through, trying to set up Tibbetts with 19 seconds left in the man advantage. Danvers on the attack. Nice looking power play. Down low. Comes back out to Taylor, top of the circle. Fires it behind the cage all the way out mid-zone right side. Mento, cross-ice feed, trying to set up DeJulio. Loses it. Comes all the way around the boards and out.
I'm a big fan when the teams are able to use, at their points, two guys shooting off wing. You know, you get Taylor lined up, right-handed shot lined up on the left, and Mento with that big cannon of his at the right side. Of course, he's a left-handed shot. It play well off of each other, easy to collect and receive passes.
Well, you know, in the artillery, it gives you a wider angle, so
yep.
You can shoot more. So I would think that would be the effect as well. Down to 3:22 left to go, middle frame. Very spirited hockey game. Much different hockey game from the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, take that away, and it's a 1-0 Beverly game.
That's true.
Know?
That's true.
But
That's
don't
not
take
how
it
works.
Away. Yeah.
There you go. All right, coming off the boards is McCarthy. Can't get the shot away. Goes out to the left point to Taylor Kloutman. Tyler Kloutman is able to keep it in, left side. And Danvers will bring it out of the zone. Kloutman intercepts in front of the Danvers bench. Gets it over to Jared Massiz. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Over to Tim McCarthy. McCarthy centering pass. Nobody home. And
shot on net, though.
Yeah, and it comes all the way out to, all the way down to the other end. So the Panthers have to collect it, as they do, and they changed up, but still have possession of the puck. Mariskalski has it, loses it, still with it. In front of the Beverly bench. Puck squirts away from him. Chris Mullaney has it. Looking to set up Mento.
And again, because we're in front of the Danvers bench, maybe we can hear things a little bit more than we can across the ice, certainly. But it seems to me that the Danvers coach is unhappy with the ragged play they've seen from their team this period.
Murkowski with a great effort that time. He's knocked off his pins as the puck, I don't know if that was a save or it went wide.
It was. Great individual effort by Mariskalski.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm surprised it wasn't a hooking call there on the Falcons. But, you know, I mean, I do think Danvers has had some ragged play, and I don't know if that's because having the benefit of a three-goal lead to start the period, two-goal lead now, there's fallen into some bad habits so they feel like they can get a little fancy or whatnot, but I would think maybe the, let's say if there was a blistering in between periods in the Beverly locker room, Danvers might get the same thing between the second and the third.
On the doorstep, Panthers not able to score. Was that D'Amato? Anthony D'Amato was set up. Oh, my goodness, in the crease, practically. And he just slammed it into the pads of Bublik. Terrific chance there for Beverly to get its second goal. D'Amato just not able to convert. Face off to the left of Bublik. It'll be Tibbetts for Danvers and Hunter Spencer for Beverly. Now one of the Falcons is coming over off the ice. Don't know why. Tibbetts, I believe it is being replaced by Connor Hamlin.
I think they tried to... his mouthpiece was out.
Ah,
so
okay. Love it, love
it. This is the, you know, the benefit of being close. You know, you might not have the sight that we normally have, but...
Yeah.
If you get lip reading, you can hear everything loud and clear here.
The official just said, we don't look for it, but when we see it, we gotta
right.
call it. Absolutely. All right,
again,
2 minutes.
That's all about player safety.
Absolutely. You got it. We're at full strength. 3-1 Danvers with 1:53 now left to go. Play is at center ice. Tyler Kloutman leading the attack for the Beverly Panthers from a defensive position. Gets some help from Connor Hanlon, who sends it all the way in. And it's D'Amato, who was just...
there's a
goal.
It's
off of somebody.
Yep. That was literally thrown out front, and I think it went off a Bublik stick.
And I think it was D'Amato who threw it over there.
Yeah.
Go figure. He couldn't put the puck home on the doorstep, and then he's just centering and gets a goal. I'm pretty sure it's D'Amato. We'll find out. But it's 3-2 now. Beverly crawling back within a goal. This penalty coming... I'm sorry, the goal coming at 13:23. Oh, my. How about that?
That was a little bit nutso, but maybe just the break Beverly needed.
Really? Oh, my goodness. So it is now 3-2 Danvers. You had a nice PA system here, so we'll be able to hear who actually got the goal. But it was, I'm pretty sure it was D'Amato who just sent it out in front.
I think you're right, yeah.
3-2, face-off at center ice. Beverly wins the face-off. Panthers now. There it is.
Oh. They give it a wall.
Okay. They give it a wall. Well, my eyes.
Two goals for Ross now.
That's right. He's got both goals in the period. Both goals. Uh-oh. Steal by Tibbetts. Right wing side. Bad angle. Shoots it wide left. Comes back to the left point. McCarthy. Or check it. It's Massiz bouncing it off the boards for Danvers. And it comes all the way out to center ice. Declan Gill goes back. Gets the icing. And the faceoff will be to the left of Troy Doyle in his own zone. With 1 minute exactly left to go in this second period. A much different second period. Now, much different hockey game from what we saw at a start.
You know, if you had told me 4 minutes in that this was going to be a one-goal game entering the third
no
period,
way.
I would have said, no, sir.
Yeah.
No, sirree, Bob. But, hey.
All right, Panthers come flying out of the zone with a two-on-two as they have the puck in the Danvers end. From the left corner, Sean Hanlon shoots it just wide. Nobody back on left defense. Now there is, as Ross Wall tries to come up with it again. Beverly on the attack. Puck comes out to center ice. Mento fighting Hanlon for the puck. And Beverly wins it. And DiMeglio right on the doorstep. On a pass, I think. It's pounced on nicely by goalie Doyle.
You know what's nice, too, Rick, is that as well as Beverly has played offensively, scoring twice, putting a lot of pressure on, they've played just as well defensively this period. Limited damage to 4 shots on Doyle.
Good point. Very good point.
Really done a nice job clamping down their own end. Yes.
Very close checking. Yeah, I think they're. I don't have the eye for it, but I'm guessing the forwards have done a much better job coming back.
Well, they have. They've done a really nice job coming
off
back.
Off the face-off and a great save made as Mento puts it on, but a terrific save by Doyle. Keeping the score where it is with 13 seconds left and running. Play is tied up along the board's far side. 6 seconds left. Mento comes away with it. Being harassed by the Panthers. Tries to get it to Tibbetts. Goes in the left wing corner. And that'll do it. Whoa! Much better second period for Beverly. So after two, we've got a hockey game at the Bork Arena. Right now it's Danvers 3, Beverly 2 after two. We'll take a break. Phil will get back to work for the paper, and we'll discuss this one in just a few minutes.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers.
Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Get you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
When did he come in?
All right, we're between periods 2 and 3 right now. And what was a 3-0 game at one point has now become a 3-1 game, with Danvers leading after 1-3-0 on goals from Christian DiMeglio at 51 seconds, by Rob Tibbetts at 2:26, and then by Tibbetts again at 4:10. But in the second period, a complete turnaround for the Beverly Panthers as they came out roaring, and they got their first goal of the afternoon from Ross Wall, one of the captains on the Beverly Panther team, at 3:34. Making it 3-1 Danvers. And then it was Wall coming back at 13:23. They said, I believe it was unassisted, giving it, making it 3-2 Danvers. We had D'Amato in that play, but it was sort of a fluke goal. It was a centering pass that kind of bounced off the goaltender. And that made the score where it is right now, 3-2. Phil Stacey of the Salem News, sports editor over the news, had the shots on goal in favor of Beverly in the second period, 10-5. So they really turned this game around, as it looked like they were going to get blown out after the first 5 minutes of this game. So a good crowd on hand for a Saturday afternoon, Saturday before Christmas, and big student body representation down to our right. The stands here at the Bork Arena, it's kind of weird. The benches are opposite each other. There's a bench on the far side, and Beverly's occupying that bench when they're on the ice. Danvers has the bench on the near side. And each bench has a penalty box off to its left, so the players can't get close to each other if they're both whistled off at the same time. And the players' benches can't get close to each other as well. But there's glass all the way around it. And where that is, there are no stands. So at center ice, on each side of center ice, from the red line to the blue line, there are no stands. And so the stands on each side of the arena are separated into quarters. So you've got four sections that are very low. And maybe, what do we have here? One, two, three, four. Four rows of bleachers in each section. So it's kind of an interesting setup, to say the least, here at the Bork Arena. And the entire arena is surrounded by netting from top to bottom. So a puck can get over the netting way at the top, but it's not going to have any velocity. It's going to be a high arc if it comes over the top of the net and into the stands. So it's a very safe place, but there are some sight lines that are difficult to use in order to see the players. However, for the players, it's a terrific ice surface. I believe Bill Newell said it's an Olympic-sized hockey surface, and it is a really nice, brand-new place here at Endicott College. And if you haven't been to Endicott College, man, you are missing an absolute beautiful venue. It's a tremendous place to go to school. It's almost Harry Potter-ish, if you will. Okay, gotta take a break. We'll come back with the third period in just a second and bat this thing around a little bit more. Maybe talk about some other sports in the area with Phil. And remind you that the score is 3-2 with the game coming to you from the Bork Arena at Endicott College. I'm Rick Moore. Our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, will be back with more talk and more hockey action right here on MSO News Sports.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Well, we're beginning our 11th year of broadcasting here on More Stuff Online. This is MSONewsSports.com. It's a division of More Stuff Online. We started, back a long time ago with some different people, but one of the stalwarts and the guys who's always around is Phil Stacy of the Salem News. And Phil, you know, the last 10 years or so.
Stalwart, huh?
Absolutely. Wow. Man, you're the man. We called you the Wikipedia of high school sports.
I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. So, the change is social media. How does the Salem News you use it and do it? Because you're up here, and I got to tell you, you got your iPad or whatever that is.
Yeah, iPad. Yeah.
iPad. You got your phone. You're talking to coaches as you're doing this game, keeping stats, talking to people, and tweeting out. How does it all work?
very carefully, you know. It's like, I don't know, it's like being a chef in a restaurant, doing like 100 things at once,
yeah.
I guess. You just have to have your head on a swivel. You have to try to get in the information when you're able to, so you're not missing any of the play, which, you know, certainly there have been goals scored when I've had my head down or whatnot, you just try to do the best you can. High school sports, whether it's football, hockey, baseball, whatever, there's no TV timeouts. They score, they go to the center of the ice, and they drop the puck.
Right,
so you've got to figure it out quick. Who scored? There's no reviews. So a lot of times we're, I shouldn't say a lot of times we put corrections, but there are times we have to say, that goal was actually scored by so-and-so.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But you know what? The feedback we get from our readers, or in this case, the people who follow us on Twitter, is remarkable. We've just started this past year a weekly podcast, which has gotten a lot of great feedback from people. People want to be on it. People like to listen to it. So we're always looking for new ways. In a day and age, you know, you mentioned a period or so ago about wanting kids to read. I don't think it's a, you know, it's, I'm not breaking any secrets here when I say that, you know, not as many people buy the newspaper as they used to. They get their information from online sources and whatnot, and then we hope that source is us or, you know, for you, things like that. But if they're not going to read the physical paper, we want to draw them in other ways, and by tweeting and podcasting and putting things up on a Facebook page, that's a great way for us to connect with our readers. And, you know, I find when I'm out at games tweeting, I get a lot of new followers all the time, feedback with fans during the game. I try to engage with them as if I'm able to during games. So, yeah, it's a lot of work. It's not just sitting back and watching the game anymore, but it's fun.
I'm not giving away any secrets either when I say the guys you work with, your sports staff, is exceptional, and they also engage, but they're fun to read, and they've been around a while. They're stable.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know. I mean, veterans galore. You got Matt Williams has been with me now for over 17 years.
Really?
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
I didn't think he was that old.
Looks like he's about 25.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's been with me for 17 years. Matt Williams has been with us for, you know, in various incarnations for almost 10 years. And even Gianna Dario now is on her fourth year, you know. And before that, of course, we had Mike Grenier and, you know, Gary Larrabee and all kinds of great folks. So.
Yeah, we still get to talk to Gary a lot about golf, which is great. Terrific source and resource. Well, it's Phil Stacy who's been kind enough to help out. Appreciate it. As we start the third period, it is 3-2. Danvers hitting Beverly, but Beverly in that second period, they won that period 2-0.
No question about that, they won that period.
And they win the faceoff, have to go back into their own zone where Sean Hanlon gets it over to Ross Wall. Both of those guys really stepped up in that second period. But intercept, shot from long range, along the ice, glove save easily by Doyle.
All right, now I'm going to make just an observation here. It doesn't mean anything, but both teams, you know, Beverly won the faceoff to start the game. Danvers won the faceoff last period,
mm-hmm.
and both of those teams, I would say, did not fare well in the particular periods that they won the faceoff.
Uh-oh. So
Beverly won the faceoff there, hoping to change that trend.
Okay. Interesting observation. I wouldn't have caught on to that. All right, we're underway. Third period. A one-goal game that looked like it was going to be a rout early on. Plays down to our left, but we can't see it. Sean Hanlon for Beverly. Gets it over to the left-wing side of Wall. Backhands it off the boards out to center ice. Wall picks it up at his own line. I'm sorry, the Danvers line. Shoots! Oh, flicking out the glove. Terrific save by Bublik. That thing was labeled far side. An excellent shot by Ross Wall. Bublik does hang on. First 45 seconds. First.
And you'll forgive me if I'm not chiming in every time here, because I am trying to do some of that.
No, not at all,
stuff
Phil.
That we talked about.
I know. No. I know you're busy, and that's fine. Whenever you can, great. Well, whenever you can't, that's great too. No problem. I'll just take a break and pause.
I'm sure it doesn't make for great radio when you get me. I'm leaving you hanging here.
No. It's fine. It's fine. I would rather have. If I've got nothing to say, I'd rather not talk. So that's fine. And Phil is very busy right now. I got to remind people he's working for the paper. He's not working for us. So I appreciate his helping out.
No, and you know, it's a busy day, but I love, you know, this time of year, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually heading from here down to Hingham, where I've never been,
mm-hmm.
at least for a hockey game, down to Pilgrim Arena to watch St. John's Prep and Hingham play, opener for St. John's. And it's a great battle between the Super 8 champions, obviously St. John's Prep, and the defending Division 1 state champions, the Harbormen. of Hingham.
Ooh, what time is that game?
That's a 7 o'clock game down there, so I'm figuring I got enough time to get down
You'll
there.
You'll be tweeting from there?
I'll be tweeting from there, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Wow. Okay. One day for you.
I go where the people want me to go, you know.
And wonderful.
My wife and kids understand the deal, so, hey, that's that.
Yeah, we talked about that the other night. Thank goodness. What's the deal with the prep? How are they projected to be again?
I think they're going to be excellent again. You know, awfully tough to live up to being a state championship, but they certainly have the firepower to make another run at it. No question about that.
All right. So, again, Salem News tonight. Check out the Twitter. What's your Twitter account, Phil?
It is PhilStacy_SN, as in Salem News. So.
Okay.
Yeah, please follow.
Very good. Very good. So the play is resuming, and it's down to the Danvers end. No real scoring chances. There was one earlier on, but by Ross Fall. But that's it. Right now the play is, quote, ragged, unquote, as they would say. And that can be attributed to the effort both teams are putting in. 3-2, and this is really a toe-to-toe battle right now.
And, you know, testament to Beverly to getting back in this game. I mean, they could have been left for dead.
Shot from the right side by Hanlon, bounces across the crease and goes wide.
That was a blocker save, actually, by Bublik. He got
Did he? Okay.
He flicked that out. Yeah, he was so fast, he just flicked it out there. But
I thought it bounced right over him, yeah.
Put the blocker on it.
Puck ricochets off the boards, and this will be icing against Danvers. So Danvers on their heels right now. No great scoring chances, but for the first 2 minutes, it's Beverly in the Danvers end.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think we're going to be seeing a lot of this kind of play in the Northeastern Conference North this season. It seems like a lot of the teams, you know, are fairly equally matched. You know, strong in some areas, weaker in others, and, you know, that should make for some great games all winter long.
Well, Spencer put the puck on net, and it bounced over to over to D'Amato, but he couldn't put it home as Bublik hangs on once again.
I mean, we've seen that already through the first week or so of play. You had Beverly, Danvers Gloucester was a one-goal game. Danvers Marblehead was a
virtually
a
one-goal game.
Yeah, one-goal game. Netter. No empty netter. Beverly Saugus tied. Winthrop Peabody was a, you know, again, essentially a one-goal game. I know Winthrop won by two, but I think we're just going to be seeing close games a lot this season. Blowouts will be few and far between, so it makes for great viewing.
I believe Gloucester beat Swampscott. Now, were you talking to Geno Fair a minute ago?
I was, yeah. That was the other night. That was Swampscott defeated Salem today, 6-0.
Today, okay.
Six different goal scorers for the Big Blue, led by Mike Johnson at a goal and three assists. He's a junior captain for Geno Fair's squad, and Swampscott is 2-1 on the young season now. They're going to take on Danvers next time out. So
how about that?
They certainly have some interest in this game.
Falcons finally get it out of the zone after sustained pressure by Beverly, but no scoring chances. Mento leads the attack left wing side, goes behind the cage, but puck comes over to the boards, sideboards. Can't clear it out. Can't be cleared out by Beverly. Panthers trying to get something going as Rocky Pisa over to Narakowski. And they will finally get it out of the zone. Rocky Pisa leading the attack. Big stride, skating hard into the right wing corner. And he's got it behind the cage, looking for some help over to Narakowski, but he can't come up with it, and Pisa helps him out. Trying to get a return feed from Pisa to Narakowski, can't. And Narakowski has it. Goes around the right wing boards.
Looking for Cottreau there in the slot, just
right.
Popped over his stick.
And comes back to center. Chad Narakowski has it. He's a junior. Left wing side overskates the puck. Into a empty left wing boards collected by Tibbetts for a Pertel, rather, for Danvers. He loses the puck, though, over to Pisa, and he sends it in deep into the Danvers end as Beverly changes up. We've played 4 minutes in the third period. Score remains 3-2. Center point by Hanlon. Shot, nothing doing. Intercepted by Danvers. James McEachern across the line, left wing side, looking for some help from DeShulio. Centering pass, DeShulio wasn't there. Tyler Kloutman on defense for Danvers is, and he'll fire it around looking for Luke Samperi. Goes too far and sent back behind the Danvers cage.
Now, you don't have to be Barry Melrose to figure out that the next goal, no matter who scores it, is going to be really big here.
And I'm not Barry Melrose. All right, from long range, wall, shot, glove save by Bublik. And he holds it.
That you know, a Beverly goal obviously ties things up, but Damas goal gives them a huge two-goal cushion as we're approaching the 10-minute mark here in the third period. So
this is our third game, and I thought this was going to be the first mismatch, and this is our third, as you just mentioned, really close game.
Yep. Oh,
from long range. Yes, sir. And a great shot by Hanlon. Just a rich shot from center point.
And if you can believe it, Beverly is actually outshooting Damas now, which, again, is hard to believe considering what we saw over the first 15 minutes of play today.
4.5 minutes gone by. Timeout. So somebody spends the time. You have one timeout apiece in high school hockey? Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
All right. Well, Danvers takes the timeout. So obviously Coach Baldessari wants to talk to the troops.
Yeah, I mean, something clearly is not connecting there. And whatever he said in between periods has not resonated. And you can see him appealing to his guys out there. They're, you know, we can hear all of this. They're losing 50-50 battles. They're getting beat to pucks. They're not controlling the play in their own zone. Therefore, Beverly is dictating the play. At this pace, Beverly will tie it up if they keep up this constant pressure and all.
Score sheet clear right now in the third period. First period, though, it was 3-0 Danvers. Christian DiMeglio scoring in 51 seconds, then two goals by Rob Tibbetts within 4-10. So it was 3-0 after 4 minutes of the first period. Second period, though, it was Wall coming back for Beverly as he scored both goals for the Panthers in that period and cut the gap to 3-2. Ross Wall with the goals. So two for Tibbetts, two for Wall, and one for DiMeglio of Danvers.
And I noticed both goaltending coaches there. You know, you had Paul Butler here on the Danvers side talking with Igor Bublik during that timeout, and Mike Bacuzzi on the Beverly sideline in the ear of Troy Doyle. And, well, I guess that's why we are over here and not on the benches, because, you know, here we are saying, like, geez, maybe they should make a goaltending change after that.
Do you remember that?
Play.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
Boy,
for sure.
Troy Doyle's played very well
yes,
from
sir.
That point on.
Yes, sir. Apologize for doubting that kid's ability.
Yeah.
Not that I did, just thought he might have been having a bad day.
And that happens.
Yeah.
You know, it does happen, but, boy, he righted the ship and, you know, proved his faith in Coach Shares for keeping him in there.
All right, so we have an icing against Danvers, so the faceoff will be back into the Falcon end. 5 minutes gone by in the, 4 minutes gone by in the third period. Faceoff to the left of Bublik, and I can't see who won the faceoff. Danvers did on the right wing side, bringing it out. And across the line, it's offside. It was Jared Massiz looking for a pass too far, though. I think it was Massiz.
It was Massiz.
11,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so face-off outside the Beverly line. And really a great crowd here, Phil.
Yeah, really good crowd. I mean, I think what I really like about this, and when I had a chance to, you know, we spoke off air earlier that I had a chance to tour the rink before it opened to the public, and Dr. Wiley here at Endicott College and his people are wonderful people,
yes,
and
yes.
They've done a great thing here for the community. And he had told me that they wanted to keep this at about 1,000 seats. So that every game felt like
okay.
It was a packed atmosphere
that makes
and
sense.
All. And that's what it is. You know, I mean, people are lined around the rink here, you know, standing room only. It's really a great spot to watch a game. And
I think intimate is the word that you would use
yeah,
for a hockey rink, right?
I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it makes for a great atmosphere here.
All right, back and forth we go. No real scoring chances, although Tyler Klotman put one in from long range that Bublik made a save on easily. And Danvers brings it back to the Beverly Inn, but Tibbetts is rubbed out along the boards and loses it. So the play is in the Beverly end, but nobody really controlling the puck at the moment. Falcons trying to come up with a puck, but it is Luke Semperi who has it for Beverly. Cruising along the left wing boards, gets it out of the zone. Wall can't make a play, bounces over on the right wing side of McCarthy. He's headed toward the net, backhanding pass, looking for Wall or Spencer. Who was it? No, D'Amato. Couldn't quite get a stick on it in the crease, and Bublik does. He holds on to it. So good chance that time by Beverly. Couldn't
yep.
quite get a shot off, but good offensive thrust with 8:37 left to go.
8:37 in the books, and Beverly holding a 5-1, shot advantage this period. Is it kept up from what they were able to do in the second period?
Can't get over that turnaround, Phil. That's
now
that's turning the lights on, isn't it? All right, so Wall cruising toward the net, loses the puck on the dribble, comes back to the left wing point. Connor Hanlon to Wall, mid zone, left wing boards. Two Falcons, and the Falcons come away with it. Tibbetts with it. Long strides. He's got a winger with him on the right side as Tibbetts goes to the left, being harassed by Hanlon, who's played a great game on defense, and he busts up the play. DiCiulio back to the right point. Hops out of the zone. Falcons have to retreat as Spencer put a rush on, but he was blocked at the line. And Beverly will change up on the attack.
I think you're referring to Sean Hanlon when you say Hanlon, but his brother, freshman Connor, has also played really well today.
Yes. I'm talking about number 24, Sean Hanlon, who is the captain as the puck trickles in on Bublik and he holds on. Sean Hanlon's been all over the ice, but terrific job on defense. You know, Mento has got those strides, and time after time, Sean Hanlon has been there to cover up, to knock the puck away and get the puck out of the zone also. He's also had some good offensive scoring thrust. It's been an even game. Both teams playing very well. Although coaches might not say that, as a fan, we can say that. DiMeglio across the line, stick handling with a one-on-three. Goes into the right wing corner. He's fighting Tyler Cloutman for the puck. It's behind the net. Centering pass by Pertel. And it's taken away by Wall. Big strides. Or check it by Sean. No, I'm sorry. It's 18, Rocky Pisa. He gets it out of the zone all the way down into the Danvers end. Goal line extended. Pisa still with it. Loses it. Comes back to the left point. Cloutman keeps it in. Diagonally from left to right. Right wing corner. Pisa fighting for the puck. Centers it across the crease, nobody home, and that will allow Danvers to bring it out. Mento loses it off the stick, pass just a little bit too far, Matt Taylor at the line. He'll bring it in by himself, heads toward the net, shoots, and scores.
Wow.
Short side, that fooled the goaltender Doyle.
And we see here Coach Steve Baldessari, it's almost as much relief on his face as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
That was a goal Danvers really needed. That's a tough backbreaker for Beverly. I mean, certainly plenty of time for them to get back in it, but now you're looking at a two-goal deficit under 7 minutes to play.
And what a rush by Matt Taylor.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness
rush.
Gracious. Yeah, took it from wing from end to end, and on that right wing side, looked like he didn't have much of an angle, and he just did it short corner, near side, and Doyle couldn't quite get a glove on it. 4-2. Goal coming at 8:08. Taylor's goal is unassisted. And the lead is up to 2 for Danvers. But don't go away.
No.
Do not go away.
Plenty of hockey to play
mm-hmm.
here.
I like these full glass face masks that I see out there. I see one player with the full glass face mask. Well, I imagine it probably is hard to keep from fogging up. Everybody else with the cages on. 6:30 left to go in the game. A two-goal lead for Danvers now. And what do we have? I guess the net became dislodged, so the face-off will take place outside the zone. Face-off will be outside the Danvers end. Matt Taylor putting Danvers back up to the two-goal lead.
And that really was a great individual play
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah, I haven't really mentioned his name a lot tonight after the first period. But he got the call that time. Here's Mento on the left wing side. Turnaround backhanded pass. What a shot by Pertel. Went just wide. Oh, my goodness. Great setup as Mento and Pertel know where each other are. And that was almost a blind pass, and Pertel nearly capitalized. Face off outside the zone, though. Pertel will face off against Spencer. Pertel wins it. Mento can't come up with it. Cleared away by Hanlon. He's looking for Wall. Not able to connect. Desmond has it. Colin Desmond will send it into the Beverly end, right wing side. DiMeglio, first one down there for Danvers. Hammered into the boards. Sends it along its way behind the cage. Sean Hanlon is there. He goes back into the other corner, trying to get some help from Wallow as to backtrack. And Beverly running around a little bit now. Danvers trying to keep the pressure on, but the Panthers will clear it.
Yeah, that goal seemed to have shaken the Panthers
yeah,
a little bit here. Yeah,
that'll deflate you a little bit, I think. Sean Hanlon trying to make a play from defense into offense. And he'll just flip it into the Danvers end. Hunter Spencer will fight Connor. Will fight Chris Mullaney for it. And Spencer still buzzing around trying to make a play. But now it's taken away by DiCiulio. and he gets it out to DiMeglio. Oh, what a collision at center ice.
Big old by nice hit there.
Yeah, by Semperi and DiMeglio.
Yeah.
Mercy. Where's the puck? It's in the Beverly end, controlled by the Panthers, Luke Semperi. Not out of the zone, though. Still in the zone. Panthers not able to clear it. McCarthy trying to. Gets it over to Sean Hanlon, and he does get it to center ice. And it's taken down by McCarthy. Centering pass.
Wow. Four. That was a terrific play by Timmy McCarthy there.
McCarthy, I think. Marikowski gets it. Okay.
Oh, a great play by Timmy McCarthy. Caught the puck at full speed coming into the zone. Dropped it at his own skates. Kicked the puck to himself. Nice dish right to left. Right under the blade of Marischalchi, and we're back to a one-goal game.
Well, just like that. So, it is 4-3 now. And this goal is what, 9:20? 10:20.
That goal's at 10:20, yeah.
Yep. 10:20, so we're inside of 4.5 minutes now. The score is 4-3. Beverly down by a goal. But here comes Danvers across the line. Tibbetts blocked out in front. And Marischalchi gets it back. Marischalchi for Beverly is able to clear it. Both teams change, so there's a lot of open ice at the moment as Luke Semperi retreats for Beverly. Slides it ahead, left wing side to Marischalchi. Uh-oh, here we go. Closing is McCarthy. Save. Puck goes right wing side. Back to the point it comes. Semperi slides it to the left, and it's cleared out of the zone. Semperi again slides it back into the zone. 4-3. Marischalchi was McCarthy the assist, I presume. 3:32 left to go. Don't go away. 4-3. Centering pass by Danvers. Mento, and it's a score. Danvers.
Mento. A lot of chances today. Finally buried that one.
Buzzing around. Shot put on, then Mento rammed it home. And now it's 5-3. Goodness gracious. 11:29, the time of the goal. My. So Mento makes it a two-goal lead once again with just 3:21 left to go. 3:21 left, 5-3, Danvers. Here comes Mento again, sliding in the left side. Oh, as the skate flashes out by Doyle. Makes the save, puck comes back to center. And we have a face-off. Goodness gracious. So we've had three goals in just about 3 minutes. Two by the Falcons.
Yeah, three goals in under three minutes. Yeah.
Well, the line mates get the assists.
Yeah. I want to say that's 7 points now for that line.
So Beverly, down by two once again, has to crank it up. Valdeseri telling his troops, just play it cool. Play is in the Beverly end at the moment. With the Panthers in charge, Semperi has it. Gets it to McCarthy, slides it in right wing side. This third line out there, quite a bit now in this third period for Beverly. As they have the third period goal. Here comes Danvers, though, out of the zone. And McEachern leads the attack, left wing side, loses his footing, looking for Tibbetts, can't connect with him. And across the line is Spencer by himself and alone, and he gets a goal.
Wow.
All alone, Hunter Spencer rams it home, and it's 5-4. Yikes. Phil, where's this one going to end up?
This is crazy.
You think? Oh, my. It's now 5-4. What a great effort by Spencer. Nobody giving up in this game. Oh, my goodness. That means there's 2 minutes, 12 seconds left to go in the hockey game. Down to 2:09 and counting. Here comes Danvers once again. Connor Pertel looking for Mento. Too far ahead. Tyler Kloutman has to go against Mento. Mento wins it. Centering pass. Taylor shoots and Save is made by Doyle. From 30 feet away, Taylor split the D right between the circles, wrist shot, but right into the middle of Doyle. Sean Hamlin with the assist, and again, boy, if you had to pick a player of the game for Beverly, I got to go with Hamlin.
Yeah, he's really played well.
Really. All right, we're inside 2 minutes, a one-goal game again, 5-4, Danvers leading this one.
Crazy. You know, I mean, 3-2, not that long ago.
Mercy. Terrific hockey if you're a fan, man, I'm telling you. And if you're a parent, these kids have played great. All right, Spencer can't pick it up, but Wall has had a pretty good game as well. Sends it into the right wing corner. Nobody there. Kept in at the point by Sean Hanlon. Beverly is in the Danvers end. Wall trying to make a play. Goes into the right wing corner where the Falcons are on it. Pertel swipes at it, misses it, and it's kept in by Sean Hanlon. Time not the friend of Danvers of Beverly now, with a minute and 20 seconds left to go.
And Doyle's looking toward the Beverly bench as to when he wants to be pulled. A minute 15 to go. Now.
Falcons masked in front of the net. Wrist shot.
They're telling him to go. They're telling him to come on.
Yeah, glove saved by Bublik. Who shot that puck from the circle? That was Tim McCarthy. Nice wrist shot.
And
beauty.
He really played well this third period, McCarthy. All right, so Doyle's to the bench. I would think that Beverly's going to use its timeout. Face off in the Danvers end. It's going to be a bond burner here.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, minute 9 left to go. Now, the Falcons' difference in the game against Marblehead was that, well, they were down 5-4, and the headers put an empty net goal in with in the last minute of play. But now, Danvers has a 5-4 lead with the empty net on the other end. Beverly pulling its goaltender. So, in this period, it was Taylor for Danvers making it 4-2 with 8:08 gone. Then Marischalski at 10:20 gave Beverly some life, making it 4-3. But then Tommy Mento, two-goal lead again for Danvers at 11:29, 5-3. And then 59 seconds later, Spencer for Beverly comes right back and makes it 5-4. This game is back and forth, as every game we've done so far this season. This is our third broadcast, all involving Danvers, by the way. Just realize that, Phil. All three broadcasts that we've done have involved Danvers, and every single game has been back and forth throughout.
Great. Yeah, you've seen some great games.
All the way. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be like this all season long for a lot of these teams.
All right, so face off to Bublik's right. We got the McCarthy taking the face off for Beverly. It looks like it's going to be, is that Pertel for Danvers?
Yep.
And we get some jostling in front of the net. And
that's the other thing, Phil, how clean a game it's been.
Really has. No penalties this period?
No penalties, no chippiness like we have seen in some games, which is, part of hockey as well. But it's interesting, the line that's out there, Marischalski's out there now with the first line. Fighting for the puck. Remember, Beverly's goal is empty. Right point. Kloutman shoots it wide. 50 seconds left.
Keep the puck in the zone.
Oh, Danvers has it. They bring it out of the zone. Pass too far ahead for Mento. Forcing Tyler Kloutman to go back and get it.
That could be a costly mistake there, because Pertel had Mento at center ice. Yep. I'm not saying he would have scored or streaked in or anything like that, but they could have, at the very least, prevented an icing, but that pass was a little too far ahead of them.
42.3 seconds left. Beverly wins the faceoff. It goes between the points, and now it's a foot race for the puck. And Kloutman is able to outrace Taylor, or check it, DeShulio for it. Beverly now retreating in her own end.
Took down valuable seconds off the clock.
Absolutely,
there.
Down to 30 seconds. 26 seconds now. Poke checked in by DeShulio. Mento in the right wing corner, fighting two Panthers for the puck. Sean Hanlon comes away with it. Time for one last rush for the Panthers. Up ahead it goes. Pass too far ahead for Tim McCarthy. Cleared to center ice. 11 seconds left. Ross Wall trying to do something with it. Long pass blocked up tight by Taylor. And I think that's going to do it. 4 seconds left. Shot. Save! In the Danvers crease. The save off the stick of, guess who? Sean Hanlon with 1.5 seconds left. So we'll just have time to drop the puck. And this is going to be a nail-biting win for the Danvers Falcons.
And Beverly is going to, assuming they don't score here or get a shot on net, they're going to outshoot Danvers 25-22, but it's going to be the Falcons that pocket the 2 points.
There's the puck drop. There's the end of the game. Phil, I know you have to go to work. Final score here, Danvers is 5, Beverly is 4. 5-4, Danvers, great game. But thank you so much, man. I love doing it.
Hey,
I learn a lot listening to
you. Thank you so much.
And it's
appreciate
a lot of fun
it.
To work with you. Thanks. Merry Christmas to you
Merry
and your family.
Merry Christmas to you and your family and all of our listeners out there.
And again, tonight you're tweeting from?
Pilgrim Arena in Hingham, St. John's Prep Hingham Hockey. Should be a good one.
We'll be looking for it. Salem
right.
Evening
thanks,
News
Rick.
Sports Editor Phil Stacey. My thanks to you, sir. 5-4 is the final. We'll take a quick break as the handshakes take place at Center Ice. And we'll recap this one very quickly for you. This game has been brought to you from the Bork Arena at Endicott College. We will be back with the wrap-up in just a second.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Well, when I said a quick break, I guess that's what I meant. So the final score is Danvers 5, Beverly 4, as the Falcons hold on. Back and forth game once again. I don't believe Beverly ever had the lead, but they did come back from a 3-goal deficit at one point to make it close. However, Danvers now improves its record to 2-1, and Beverly is at 0-1-1 in a really spirited, terrific hockey game. All three of our Danvers broadcasts so far, we've had the Falcons in all three of our games, and every single game has been that close. Game started off with a 3-goal lead very early on for the Danvers Falcons. Christian DiMeglio scoring at 51 seconds, and that was followed by two Rob Tibbetts goals at 2:26 and at 4:10. The second goal of the game for Danvers and Tibbetts' first was a power play effort. So it was 3-0 after one period of play. But Beverly came back real strong in that second period. Goals by Rob Wall, two of them, Ross Wall was able to pick up two goals, one at 3:34 and one at 13:23 for the only scoring in that second period. But in that period, Beverly came back to outshoot Danvers 10-5. And then in the third period, it looked as though Danvers were going to put it away at 8:08 when Matt Taylor scored on an unassisted beauty that made the score 4-2. It was 3-2 after 2, 3-2 in favor of Danvers. It increased to 4-2 with 8:08 gone in the third period on Taylor's unassisted effort. That was a thing of beauty. But Beverly never giving up. Chad Marischalski coming back at 10:20. Tim McCarthy the assist, making it 4-3. And then Danvers looked like it stuck the dagger into the heart once again of the Falcons as Tom Mento scored 11:29. Assist to line mates Christian DiMeglio and Rob Pertel. And Connor Pertel, I'm getting my names mixed up, but all three line mates involved in that goal with Mento picking it up at 11:29. That made it 5-3, Danvers. Beverly, not quitting, not giving up, scored to make it 5-4 at 12:38 with Hunter Spencer picking up the goal on a great effort. And Sean Hanlon, who was terrific all night long on defense and igniting the offense, got the assist, making it 5-4. Beverly pulled their goalie, but just not able to get that equalizer. So the game ended at 5-4. Shots on goal finished in favor of Beverly, 25-22. But the score finished in favor of Danvers at 5-4. So congratulations to Steve Baldessari and the Danvers Falcons on their second win of the season. They're now 2-1. And also congratulations on a terrific effort and an excellent game by the Beverly Panthers, coached by Justin Shares. So please take a look at our website. We plan to have North Shore Sports Night on again on Monday night. And myself, Tim Kearns, will be there for that one. And then we should have at least a basketball game and a hockey game for you next week before we have a little bit of a Christmas break. So check out, again, the website. And my thanks to Phil Stacey in particular today. sports editor for the Salem Evening News, for all of his help, and of course to Bill Newell for all that he does for us as well. And Bill will have some other stuff up there. Check out all the great interviews, the fall interviews. Not too late to see what the coaches have to say and see if their predictions are coming true, by the way. So that'll do it from here. I want to wish everyone a very happy holiday season and Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you again, if I do, forget it. I'll say it again next week. In the meantime, final score from the Bork Arena at Endicott College. It is Danvers 5 and Beverly 4.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.